Accession number 27786, Mr. Jack Fisk, Reel 3. Now, what about the food? What was the messing system on board the Virginia?
Well, it was very good being on the small ship, because we more or less got double the rations of the civilians. And
which system was it? Was it general messing or canteen messing or
canteen messing? We used to get a bonus. What we saved,
So how did it work?
Well, they allowed you so much in the mess deck per month, and you elect between yourselves, like the seamen and the stokers and the communication bar, the cook of the mess. So you had to prepare the food for the cook to cook, and then when it piped round to hands and up to hands for dinner, then after your top, you got your dinner. And if it wasn't all that good, then the whole cook of the mess copped it. But then the cook of the mess also had to wash up as well. And he also had to prepare the food. So we used to have a lot of bangers and mash. And tomato, what was it? Herbin, they called it.
Herrington tomato sauce.
Yeah, that's right.
Or pilchards.
Herrings or something, yeah.
So you went for cheaper food?
Yeah. Yeah, because if there was any money over at the end of the month, we got a share out. So. And, perhaps I shouldn't say this, but if you nicked anything, if you brought it back ashore, then of course it was all to your good.
What did you think of the food? It was all right for you.
Yeah.
You aren't fussy about your food then?
No. You got used to it.
Now, what about the watch system? How did that work?
Well,
because you know you've got your action station.
That depended on on the length of the convoy, because you were only allowed so much each per day. That's for washing and drinking.
Oh, that's water. Sorry, yeah. Okay. Karen, was there a shortage of water?
Well, of course, it depended on the length of the convoy. Not the length, on the length of how long you were at sea. Because sometimes you might be a bit shorter. And then he cut down the ration.
Now, what I asked was watch. You know, the watch system. Mm. Well, how did that work?
Well, I've always been myself. I've been on the... one on a tour. That means that if I do the forenoon watch, I don't go on again until what they call I don't go on to the second dog, which is 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and then if I do the afternoon watch, I'll go on again at 8 o'clock in the evening till 12, and you have a dog watch, which is 2 hours, because that is how you change over.
So you're not always doing the same
No,
watch.
That's right.
Now, what would you do when you wouldn't be at your action station, you'd have a cruising station, would you?
No, but the seaman's job was, of course, in the lookout. Primary was a lookout.
Now tell me about lookout duties.
Well, on the Virginia was you used to do 1 hour on each side of the bridge lookout. You'd have the glasses and 1 hour on the wheel, and then 1 hour up top crow's nest, one back.
And when you were on lookout, what did you do on lookout on the bridge or
look,
on the crow's nest?
Look, that's all.
Did you have binoculars?
Yeah.
And would you have a systematic way of doing it, like, you know, bits of sky and, or would you just look as you
have? No, we mostly do see.
So you weren't looking up?
No.
There wouldn't be any German airplanes once you're out of range.
Yeah.
And what about steering on the wheel?
I used to like it, eventually later on in the life, I was standing quartermaster.
So what was the duties when you were on the wheel? What did you have to do?
Well, steer the ship, because I was, it was not down like that nowadays. There's a big wheel on that, and we used to go to the compass, and the old man would give you an order, and as long as you repeated the order, and you repeated the order when you you were on that particular reading, everything was fine, you know. But I used to enjoy steering it.
Any other duties you'd have when you were, you know, when you were on duty?
Yeah, I used to look after the depth charges.
That was your routine. Fabric.
Well, I had to keep check on them and all that kind of thing. So.
What were you checking them for?
Well, make sure that they were had the primers in them when you went to sea.
So that was another routine,
yeah. Yeah.
What about cleaning ship?
Oh, we had to do that every day.
How would you do it? I mean, and how?
Well, each mess has got the responsibility to keep his own, keep it all tidy, and he's all his own gear. Tidy, and you'd have a mess man who would you would elect to do the floors and things like that, or the decks, and keep it all tidy. You had your own bunk, so that had to be tidy as well. And you'd have rounds every night, so that it can get out of hand, you know, because it could possibly, as you must imagine, that if you didn't have it strict, you would soon get a lot of diseases aboard the ship. And,
so people knew why they had to do it.
That's right, yeah.
Now, anything else about a typical Atlantic convoy? You know, what life was like on the ship?
Well, of course, it depended on the weather. But you was always on the lookout. That is the thing. And sometimes you would get a warning over the telegraph that there was a pack of subs in a certain area, you know. But lucky enough, never in our area, so it was alright, but now and again you get one odd one, you know. And sometimes you got a contact, we got contacts, and then we would go and drop a charge. You usually drop one charge when you first attack, because it could be a whale. You get the same reading off of that whale. Same, you know, pretty near the same length, and you drop one. If you got no more contact, you know, you've blown it to bits. But you never knew whether you got a submarine or not, because if he was a good skipper, he would dodge out of the way. And
what was it like when the depth charges went off?
Oh yeah, if you got a pattern of 10. It's like a flash across the sea, you know. I don't know if you've seen it on the television, you know, when they go off.
Did it shake the ship off?
Yeah, we used to have no cups and light bulbs, used to go. If you left anything lying about, you know, just smash it with, you know.
So you'd take the ships out into the Atlantic, and then another escort would take over. Would you take another convoy back to England?
Yeah.
And anything about that? Anything else? Where would you go when you were back in England? I mean, where were you based?
Londonderry, because that was the escort base, you see. And you would find plenty of loaded destroyers and sloops and corvettes.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads in the crew?
We got on fine, yeah. There was one occasion on this particular ship when we found that the money was missing from two or three lads, and it was reported, and the old man gave about three people drafts short, and it stopped. It didn't happen anymore, so apparently he hit the nail on the head.
Was it a happy ship?
After being on other ships, I would say not particularly happy.
Now, what was at fault? Was it not a good bunch of lads?
The old man.
What was wrong with him?
Well, he was a bit bombastic.
Remember his name?
Yeah, Dobson.
What would he be, a sub-lieutenant?
Lieutenant commander, yeah. RNR.
Now, in what way was he bombastic?
Well,
what sort of thing would he do?
I've seen so many better ones since. Although, of course, when this was my first ship, I didn't know there'd be any different, you see. So, when you compare them from other skippers that I've had.
So what sort of thing did he do that wasn't as good?
He would hit the key when he brought the ship alongside, and then he started blaming the crew for it. We didn't know he's a light there.
So he wasn't that technically good as a.
We didn't think so, no. But he got 2.5 rings, so he must go for some reason. And at one time we picked up. Once again, I don't know whether I should say anything.
Took to you.
We picked up 18, I think it was, Dutch survivors. And the Dutch embassy, I think, sent 50 quid aboard the ship, which is a fair bit of money in them days, a few runs ashore. And the old man said he'd keep it for after the war. And anybody was hard at get in touch with him. And we never saw that 50 quid no more. then on the other hand, you see, you couldn't even negotiate with him on a thing like that. So.
What were the other officers like?
Well, some were alright, yeah, some were alright.
What made a good officer for you?
Well, a good officer was a chap who could talk to the crew man to man, and he gets much more done if he does it that way. I know that you've got to obey every order in the book and in the Navy, but there's a way of putting it over. And some officers don't know how to do that. And I found, particularly the later time, that they were getting young officers aboard, straight from Dartmouth. And they were putting them aboard. And we were professional seamen by 1946. And they're trying to tell you how to call ropes and things like that when they first come aboard, and you've got to have your hat on straight when you're aboard. And I think some of the lads got into trouble by, they called it insubordination. But very often, if you had a good skipper, he would give you 3 days leave stop when you were at sea, so that everybody was satisfied. The officer was satisfied, and so were the lads. And that is what I call a good officer.
And what about petty officers, you know, and leading?
Well, we used to get on with all right with them, because they were like us, but they were in charge of us doing the jobs, you see.
Were they good at the job?
They would say, oh yeah. They would say, well, we've got to splice this rope today, and give us a hand of that, and give them a hand, and you know, and no bother at all, really. Oh, you always get a stroppy one, you know, especially when he's had a few tops. Well, the petty officer very often used to, at rum time, you see, he used to dish out the rum, but he used to put his thumb in the top of the measure. And of course, so many thumbfuls during the day, and they used to drink a few tops, and that's when sometimes you upset them.
Now, what would you do when you went ashore in London? What was it, a welcoming port?
Yeah, it was in those days, yes, it was fine.
Would you, did you drink much?
I couldn't afford a lot. But drank a little bit, I suppose.
But it was a friendly pub.
We found it friendly.
There's
yeah.
no IRA trouble or, no, or the, Republican
the biggest,
or Catholic.
The biggest problem there was the Yanks, because they were coming over with all their flesh money and all that kind of thing, and the birds were all going with the Yanks. There's still stockings and things like that. And poor old Jack, he got nothing at all.
Did that cause trouble? I mean, with the fights?
Well, it was with a few fights, yeah.
Were you involved in any, or was it just something that was going on?
I better not say that, I'll see my solicitors.
So you were. What sort of thing would start a fight? I mean,
well, they'd flash money about that, you know. They'd all call you limeys and that kind of thing.
Were they serious fights or just scuffles?
Not really, no. You'd get the red caps, the naval patrol to be in there like a shot.
Anything else about how long were you at Londonderry?
Well, I was in and out there 6 months, and there was a couple of dance halls there. They were quite enjoyable. No.
So what next after the 6 months?
After the 6 months we went down to they decided that we were taking too much sea, and they decided to send us south.
Taking too much?
Too much sea. We're getting too much damage when we went to sea.
Because it was only a yacht?
Yeah, only small. And so they thought about sending us south. First of all, it was going to be over the West Indies, Bermuda. But we caught fire just before we set us up.
Now,
so that put us back.
How did you catch fire? What happened there?
Well, there was a leak of oil, and they were all in ship, and it was falling on a hot engine, and it caught fire from there.
How serious?
Not very serious, but it had enough damage to keep us from sailing with that convoy. So when they repaired it, they sent us to Milford Haven.
Now what are you going to do there?
Well, we had to wait there for a small convoy to assemble, and the convoy consisted of 9 motor launches, and we had to escort them. Now those motor launches,
MTBs, you mean?
No, they were smaller.
MLs, yeah, even
yeah,
smaller.
MLs, yeah. They were tied up alongside us, or alongside the quay, and the blokes were being sick.
In harbour.
So when we went to sea, and I knew a very good friend of mine who was there, and they were terrible, and I believe the 3 died. Three blokes died, but they got the ships to Gib.
Is that where you were taking them?
Yeah. Well, when you go to Gib from Milford Haven, you just can't go down the road like that. You've got to go 400 miles out to sea, west, and then go round in the books, you see. So we were a few days at sea, and apparently the part of this exercise was how much bad weather the MLs could stand, and they were testing them for this, and I don't think it was very good. But
so the answer was not much.
That's right. a friend of mine who I became friendly with later on, I discovered that he was on one of these, and he was in a Legion club, and happened to say that he left Milford Haven to go foreign, and I said, well, I left Milford Haven. So he said, I was on Monday on the ML. Oh, I said, well, yeah, he said it was shocking, but anyway, he was a good seaman, and when he got there he went to they drafted him aboard another trawler, which was called HMS Lord Nuffield, and he got on board there, and the officer watched him, "You're lucky in your watch ashore tonight," he said, "but you must be back by 11, and if you're not back by 11 you miss the ship." Well, he got drinking with old pal of his, and he missed his ship, and the ship went down all lands that night. Yeah.
So where did you go from Gibraltar?
From Gibraltar we had a little run in the Med.
Is this when you were is Tarna is Londonderry, is it, and Gnu is Gibraltar?
Londonderry is Tarna, yeah.
And Gnu Gibraltar?
No, this was Gnu was South Africa.
Right, so what are you doing in the Mediterranean?
Oh, we just did a couple of runs in there with a convoy, only halfway again, and we brought back.
And so do you remember anything?
To watch your fuel, see.
Anything you remember about that?
Not a lot, no. Nothing happened. And then we went back to Gib, of course, and then we left Gib, and the next port of call was Freetown.
And that's good.
That was convoying.
What do you remember of that convoy?
Well, there were several convoys, actually.
So where were you based?
We did have one or two attacks, I don't remember.
So you were escorting convoys to Freetown from Gib?
Yeah.
And what do you remember of those convoys?
Not a lot. We went to Takoradi. Lagos.
Just to the west coast of Africa?
Yeah, that's right. And then we went down to Walvis Bay. They called it Walvis Bay.
And what were these convoys like? You said you were attacked.
No, we weren't. No,
we weren't attacked.
We weren't. I think we picked up some survivors, but I don't think they were from that convoy. Yeah. We went on to Cape Town then, and then on to Simonstown, which is just round the corner. And that's a naval base at Simonstown.
And that's Gnu. Is that where you were based?
That's Gnu there, yeah. And also Africander. That's on that sheet, isn't it?
Yeah. You seem to. So they're all out and up. Wait, so you were based at Simonstown for a while, were you?
For a while, yeah. Well, we used to, and then from there on we used to do convoying up the Indian Ocean at East London, Port Elizabeth, Durban, Mauritius, Madagascar, Mombasa, Seychelles, Aden.
Now, what were these convoys like?
Only small convoys. Small convoy, that's all.
What would happen, typically?
Well, nothing happened on the convoys, except that we get one or two what they call pings.
The Aztec ping.
Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, you make some attacks here, but you never know whether you got or whether you didn't, you know.
Were there any attacks by U-boats on your convoy? In other words, ships sunk?
No. We picked up a boatload of survivors. I can't remember whether they were Australian. I know the bloke that was the leader of it was an Australian. But we picked them up at one night there, and we took them back into Durban. But they'd been to sea for 8 days. And I think they got sunk with a German merchant cruiser.
And what state were they in?
They weren't too bad, but they had a dog aboard, and I think he was the next. Yeah, I think so.
They were that short of food.
Yeah. They've been to sea 7 or 8 days.
And Now, how long were you doing this, based at Simonstown?
Nearly 2 years.
That's what it looked. So from roughly June 43, that's when you start at GNU, through to now is to the Afrikaner. Was that the last one? That's November 44.
One called Assegai.
Yep, that takes you through to June 45. So that's all doing that.
Right. Yeah.
Did anything happen, or was this really a routine period?
We had to escort. We had to escort an Italian submarine that was caught outside Durban. When it had a refit in Durban, and the Italians were allowed to go up and down West Street. There's only two streets in Durban, West Street and Smith Street. And they were allowed to go up and down West Street. Then they finished the refit, and we were given the job to escort them back, we thought, back to England. But we found that she was too fast for us. We're supposed to be escorting her, and it used to go on ahead past us. So when we got to the Aden, they put somebody else on it, and they brought it back home. But just for the matter of interest, there was an incident aboard there, because when we were leaving them at Aden, all the officers decided to have a party aboard the submarine. Well, they go in out of that sea boat, don't they? It's got a motor on it. And we take them to this submarine. There's about five of the air officers went aboard. And dropped them off when we were told to wait. And we did wait. And it was hours and hours. And of course, these Italians, they took us aboard the Italian submarine and took us in each mess deck. Each mess deck, you got the vino, didn't you? Down it goes. And of course, the sea boat's crew got a bit drunk. And instead of pulling the boat in, so the old man could get it, step in, we missed it. Well, we pushed it out and he went down in the spring. And his hat was floated by, and they managed to save his hat. But anyway, when the officers dived in for him, and we got him out, and God, what he wasn't going to do us the next day. But anyway, the next morning, that night we woke up the what we call the coxswain. He's like the lawyer on board. And we got the rule books out, and it says that you're not allowed to wait more than an hour for the sea boat, you see, for anybody. And we were waiting about 3 hours. So because we quoted this in the morning, we were all up before them in the morning, and we all got away with it. And that's the last we saw that submarine, the big one.